Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Tyler Perry has a summer sensation on his hands with The Haves and the Have-Nots, his first weekly drama series. The final chapter of Haves' first batch of episodes plays Tuesday night on the Oprah Winfrey Network, with more chapters coming early next year. Co-star Renee Lawless joins me next in an internet radio exclusive live from Atlanta. Evokes is among the new networks on the TV block, all about sustainable living. However, for now, the only place this channel operates is on smart TV sets and open-top devices like Roku. Why this route? And will Evokes do what Planet Green couldn't? Hands is ahead live from San Francisco with Chief Executive Zah Dubois. Also on our menu, Longmire returns to Season 3, the latest on the station blackout controversies, and the answer to this week's classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Block Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. The next to last day of August 2013, day before Labor Day weekend, we thank you for tuning us in on the radio show that covers the TV world. 82 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. And we invite you over the next hour to be part of this program. It's very simple to do with some great guests coming your way. Just give us a call. The number you use is 1-646-652-2906. That's 1-646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or across the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. We have another way to get involved on this day before Labor Day weekend, and that's our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Guest 1313 just popped in the room. So use that phone, use the room. Either way, we love hearing from you. And while the program is on the air this hour, you can connect with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Radio screen, follow the instructions, and other people to hear this show with you right now. Renee Lawless from the Haves and the Have-Nots joins us live from Atlanta after these news notes. Three-station blackout situations continue into this Labor Day weekend. The big one remains CBS stations in New York, Los Angeles, Dallas, and other major cities off Time Warner cable systems. After a month, there's no indication of a deal, even though both parties are still at the negotiating table. Then there's Time Warner's separate blackout crisis with journal broadcasting stations in the Midwest, including CBS's Omaha affiliate. That situation is now over a month old, and no word of any talk to resolve that matter. And third, there's DirecTV's dispute with IAC broadcasting stations in Texas and the Southwest. That's nearing a month off that satellite service, and again, no deal and no talking. Longmire looked like a sure bet for a third season next summer on A&E. Executive producers on that series used social media this morning to offer that news. More than 4.3 million viewers watched the final season 2 episode earlier this week. Unresolved at A&E is the fate of the Glades, and as the network's first scripted drama goes into season 5 in 2014. Some 3.4 million viewers caught that program season wrap this week, which turned out to be a cliffhanger. And that's our news notes for now. And if there's any updates on the station blackout situation, we'll bring them to you on our next edition of our program, Tuesday, same time and place here on Blog Talk Radio. Now joining us live from Atlanta, the co-star of The Have and the Have-Nots, nearing its final episode next Tuesday on the Oprah Winfrey Network, Renee Lawless. Hi, Renee. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Simon. How are you? Glad to be here.
Fine. Same here. How's you and everybody and Tyler dealing with the news that every week your audience keeps growing?
Oh, it's amazing. Unfortunately, we're all spread out, so we usually talk to each other via Facebook or text messaging, but we're just thrilled. And if you checked out my fan page or Mr. Perry's page yesterday, he sent a major thank you letter to everybody for the success of the show.
Why do you think this show has become one of the summer sensations of the year? This is Tyler Perry's first drama. It's based on a play he did 2 years ago. Why do you think this show is hitting the point where every week you hit a new viewer mark?
Well, I think a part of it was actually the demise of the daytime soap opera. I think that's part of the thing, and people have been still longing for that. They're, you know, the shows like One Life to Live and All My Children and all that have been on the internet for a while, as well as in the summer months, you know, major television networks pretty much take off. That's their hiatus. Their stars go elsewhere. And although there's a resurgence of summer programming that people are actively getting involved in, there was no true, for lack of better words, you know, that kind of Dallas-y, soapy, Falcon Crest nighttime drama. And we change it up every week, but we're not like a soap opera. You watch a normal soap opera, you have one storyline, and you can go away for 3 weeks and come back and still know where you are. With our show, you miss one night, you're kind of lost. You got to stay with it. You know? So I think
that's
what
a lot of people
coming back
on the Facebook and Twitter pages. They're saying, like, you got to see it episode by episode, or else you're really in the dark.
Exactly, exactly. And we're and you know, that's what the success of the dramas, you know, during like Scandal and all those, they're that same kind of way. You can't miss an episode. You know, 24 picked up on that, and I think that's what we bring. We bring a completely different wow factor every single week. And that's you know, you don't really get that in a lot of other shows.
Well, when Tyler brought you and John Schneider, your major co-star in the family that you can get into how the show works in a moment. But when he brought you all together in Atlanta, where you are now, to do this series, what was his marching orders?
What were his, I'm sorry?
What was his marching orders? How did he want everybody to play this program? What was, like, the mindset he wanted all of you actors to get?
You know, we really didn't. I hate to say this, it's not a bad thing. We really didn't get marching orders. Basically, what happened, we knew when we showed up on set, we were shooting fast. So that was something that everyone, including veterans like John Schneider, really had to also get used to. Although there were a couple of people in our show that are used to that soap opera of speed, so they were a little bit more accustomed to it. However, his casting process was so deep. I was very fortunate to do my callback with John. And he liked what everybody brought to the table. And he just, and basically, I guess the only marching orders was continue to do what you've already brought me. He allowed us to create these characters, and he saw exactly what he wanted in those callbacks in the audition room. And he said, okay, take what you've got and go with it. And if he thought we were going to go off mark, he would have brought us back in. But he let us really create these characters, but at the same time, we already had created his vision before we even showed up on set, if that makes any sense.
Now, and for people who haven't seen The Haves and the Have-Nots, this is about three families. Two of them you could say are haves, very well-to-do families in Georgia, Savannah to be specific. And then you have another family that is the have-nots. One family is Caucasian, that's your family that you play. Another family that's the haves is African-American. The people that are the have-nots are also African-American. Explain the dynamics of this program and how it all shapes up, how it all fits together.
Well, our show, first of all, is really not about race at all, nor is it, it's basically, the bottom line is, what does it mean to have? People who are fans of the show and watch the show will realize that those who have the money don't necessarily have. And the have-nots, in many ways, have a lot more than the haves. Because it takes a lot more than money to make somebody happy. I'm sure a lot of us would go, well, I would love to experience some monetary unhappiness, but you know what I'm saying. That's how our show pretty much goes. It's basically how this, you know, upper class family, the haves, the Kreider family, my family, and how I interact with my I hire a maid who is Crystal Fox, Hannah, and she's of the have-not. And it's how these two worlds come together, and it has nothing to do with color. It just so happens she's black. But it's not because I reach out to a black person. It's more of me. I reach out, and I befriend, and the story centers around this incredible friendship of two people that are just so different on a monetary level, on so many levels, but yet are also so very close and so very much alike, and how they learn and grow from each other. And trust me, I learn a lot more from Hannah than I think she probably learns from me.
More than 2.4 million people saw last Tuesday night's episode of The Haves and the Have-Nots. That, and there's one episode to go, and it's next Tuesday night at 9 p.m. East Pacific on the Oprah Winfrey Network. A lot of people think it could crack 2.5 million or more. We will see. Renee Long is one of the co-stars of the program. She joins us live from Atlanta this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum with you live up the East Coast here in New York. And we invite you to get in the program. Just call us at 1-646-652-2906 or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. We've got Kes 1335 and our good friend Rick Red from Philly in the room. Coming up for our next half hour, we'll switch to a new service called Evoke Television. It's a network you can only find on smart TV sets, and on Roku. We will talk live from San Francisco with Chief Executive Zob Dubois. And coming up next Tuesday on our program, we'll kick off our September to Remember with the former president of Warner Brothers Television, Eric Frankel. He'll be with us on a special edition Tuesday, same time and place right here on Blog Talk Radio. He's got a lot to say about where TV is at and where it's going. And he's got a brand new advertising venture about personalized ads that may have a TV twist to it. Eric Frankel, former head of Warner Brothers Television, the largest producer of original independent programming. That's coming up Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. You mentioned earlier, Renee, that Dynasty was an influence and soap opera was an influence. Was Tyler influenced as well by Upstairs, Downstairs? Because it sort of has that kind of feeling, too.
I'm not sure about that specifically. I do know that with the rise of Downton Abbey, and I'm not saying that he was necessarily influenced by that, but I will say what he was trying to create, and we've said this before in some other interviews, I'm sure he was influenced by all of those, more of the old, you know, the Dallas, the Falcon Crest, and the Dynasty, but making a modern twist on it. But basically, he took a movie, The Family That Prays, that starred Kathy Bates and Alfred Woodard, and it was a very successful movie to him. It has the same kind of premise. He starred in it himself. And we are basically kind of like the backstory of that movie. I mean, our names are different, the characters are different, that type thing, but it's the same idea about crossing social status lines. And like I said, at the Upstairs, Downstairs, I'm not sure if he was directly influenced, but you know, Mr. Perry is absolutely incredible and absorbs so much that I wouldn't have any doubt in my mind if he wasn't influenced by something like that, because he's like a sponge and he sucks up a lot of those type of genres too, and programming to influence him, I think.
What's interesting about your program, Renee, is that amid all the dysfunctionality in the three families, this program addresses a lot of serious issues, and getting by a lot of the people who watch the program. They like the fact that amid the dysfunctionality, you get some serious issues across.
Exactly. I mean, we've tackled, you know, women's issues. We've tackled the cancer issue. We've tackled infidelity. Adultery. We've tackled homosexuality. We're still doing that. We've tackled corruption in politics, as corruption in our legal system. I mean, we hit something new every day. I mean, and then abuse and suicide and all of these things, you know. I think we just keep checking off every dysfunction that there is and finding a new one, you know.
How did you get involved with this program? How did you catch the attention of Tyler and John and everybody else?
You know, it's a definite blessing and gift from God. I spent 5 years on the road with the Broadway First National Tour of Wicked. And I was a year ago, it was like last September, as a matter of fact, I knew that I, after 5 years, I really needed to leave the road and go back to New York and pound the pavement and start expanding my theatrical and more television and film career and get off the road. And in doing so, there are various databases available to actors about things that are coming up in projects. And I had just clicked on this particular database one day in September and saw the audition. Not thinking in a million years I would get asked to audition, but I didn't even tell my managers. I just submitted a picture and a resume, read the role of Catherine Cryer, felt that it was 100% me, and thought, you know what, I won't even get the audition, but at least I'll get in front of them, you know. And about 2 weeks later, they called for an audition. And I couldn't believe it. I sent in a tape, and about 2.5 months later, I get a call and say, we want to fly you to Los Angeles for a callback. And 2 weeks after that, they offered me the role. And I had about 2 weeks left on the road, came home for a week, changed clothes, and ended up in Atlanta, Georgia to start shooting. So it was all a very bam, 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 very quick thing. And it happened so fast, I kept thinking, is this really happening? Is this really real? But it did.
Renee, what makes the role 100% you?
Oh, well, I shouldn't say 100%. I should say 90%, because I definitely am not worth $50 million, and I don't live in this amazing mansion in Savannah, and I don't have two children and a judge for a husband. So let's just call it 90% me. So take away all of that, and it's not me. First of all, she was Southern, which I was born in Knoxville, Tennessee, grew up in Jacksonville, Florida, still Southern girl raised in the South, but I just got her. And there are, and it was about how she had the refinement, which I can be very unrefined at times, but at the same time, I can turn on the refinement when I need to be. But when they were describing what she's going through, she's one of the few people that is very close to my real age. And so that was, like, interesting, as well as all the hang-ups that she goes through. She doesn't like getting old. Well, I don't like getting old either. And she doesn't like her body sometimes. She gets upset at her weight. Well, I do too, pretty much daily. And she's frustrated with her husband. Well, I have been married, but I have been frustrated with my boyfriend. And she's frustrated with, sometimes she feels lonely. And in our business as an actor, sometimes we feel lonely. I just related to her on so many levels. And although I myself have not experienced cancer, unfortunately, my best friend of 32 years died about 5 years ago of ovarian cancer, and I have several friends that are now dealing with breast cancer. So I can feel that personalization of what they must be going through. So in many ways, sometimes I can't even really articulate it, how similar we are. And she lives a life of, she has many, many layers. And I think a lot of people have many, many layers, and we don't always get to show the layers to the public. And with Catherine, I get to break down a lot of different layers of myself in her, and vice versa. And she breaks down her layers. So it's a joy. It's an absolute joy every day to play her.
When Tyler does movies, oftentimes he has an ensemble of major stars. When Tyler has done television, starting with House of Pain, he is normally cast unknown, the people that we don't know by name or by resume. And that's the same here with the haves and the have-nots. And I'm wondering, when you have a lot of people, as you said earlier, that have not done the type of soap opera acting or pace of acting that soap operas deal with on a daily basis, your weekly show, how do the ensemble come together?
We were almost forced to because there was so much memorization involved. A lot of us in the beginning, we would get together a couple of times and just rehearse, not to necessarily practice the scenes, but just by repeating the lines, it helped us memorize the lines. And once we got in the rhythm, then we would just get together and do it sometimes on set. But at the same time, fortunately for me, I knew Angela Robinson, who plays Veronica. She and I grew up in the same hometown, so we already had a connection. Crystal Fox and I auditioned together, and we hit it off immediately. There was almost an immediate camaraderie with our company. It was really wonderful, and we're all in the same boat. So when you're all in the same boat, you just kind of like, hey, can you come over here and read lines with me? And so we would all show up and kind of help each other out. We were worried about our own stuff, yes. But at the same time, we were empathetic to what another actor was going through because we all knew that we got to get this done, we got to show up, and we're professionals. I will say one thing very briefly, in addition, kind of piggybacking on your question. Mr. Perry has a great love and a great appreciation for theater. And he appreciates the theatrical actor, probably because of their work ethic and et cetera. And I think a lot of times he pulls people that he's seen in shows because he knows they're used to the day in and day out rigmarole of what it takes to do how he wants to shoot. And so that probably helped us as well.
He also seems to be a master of time management because what he has done in television, hundreds of episodes of House of Pain, then Meet the Browns, now this show, and Love Thy Neighbor, putting that on the same time on OWN this summer as your show, and now For Better or Worse is coming back next month with new episodes.
Mm-hmm.
How does he do it? How does he manage time so much that he can do all this television, prepare other shows, do movies, do plays, have the kind of career he's having?
That is a $64,000 question. I really don't think the man ever sleeps. I really don't know when he sleeps. I can't, people ask me this all the time because what a lot of people don't realize is not only does he write all of these shows that you see, every single episode, but with the exception of, I think, after a while, House of Pain and Meet the Browns, after a while, he turned over the directing to someone else. but at least with For Better or For Worse, Love Thy Neighbor, and our show and the movies, he writes, produces, and directs. I don't know, I can't even begin to imagine when he has time to do all that he does. And now he's producing two more plays that are coming up to a couple of weeks before we even start shooting again in September that are going to be going straight to DVD. I can't remember their names off the top of my head, but they're going to be shown 3 and 3, 6 nights here in Atlanta, and then they'll be produced for a DVD. And I'm thinking, when did you have time to do this, you know? And so he's got to be a master. I will say, and these are from his words, he loves his solitude. For instance, when he says when he does sleep, he has to be completely quiet. And he's got a home, I think, in Bermuda or the Bahamas or something, and he will many times just fly there just to write because it gives him his quiet and his solitude. And he is, in many ways, as wonderful and as outgoing and as fabulous as he is, he's also a very private person. And I think by keeping that to himself, he waits for the characters to speak to him. And I guess, you know, whenever they come to him is when he gets up and writes. But I really don't know how the man does it. I really don't.
The Have and the Have-Nots concludes its first season on the Oprah Winfrey Network. Next Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, Renee Law is one of the co-stars. She's live with us in Atlanta this half hour, this Friday afternoon before Labor Day week, and on tomorrow will be televised. Simon Applebaum with you from New York on Blog Talk Radio. Happy you're aboard with us. Give us a call with a question or comment. We have a few more minutes with Renee. And the number you use is 1-646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Welcome guest 1400 in the room. So don't be shy. Use the phone. Use the room. We want to hear from you because what you say matters. And next Friday here on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll have one of the presidents of the Oprah Winfrey Network, Eric Logan, will join us live. And we may also have the other president of the network, Sherry Salata. Eric Logan is our lead guest next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Also on the program, we will have Spike Lee's wife, writer-producer Tanya Lewis Lee. Her latest work is The Watsons Go to Birmingham. It premieres next month on Hallmark Channel's Walden Family Theater. People who've seen it believe it may be one of the first great made-for-TV movies of the 2013-14 season. Also, we'll have her co-producer on the program, Nikki Silver. Tanya Lewis Lee and Nikki Silver from The Watsons Go to Birmingham. Nikki Nani Rose and David Alan Greer are in the cast, and that premieres next month on Hallmark Channel's Walden Family Theater. But they will be with us next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, part of our September to Remember, here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. So all of you come back next month to start the next group of episodes. I believe it will be 20 this go-round. Any thoughts about what we can expect?
Well, I do know that there's a major cliffhanger coming up this Tuesday. I do not know how he's going to resolve that, but I'm sure it will definitely highly influence the next 20 episodes. And we must remember through all of this, I mean, basically people start listening, that Jim is definitely announcing a run for governor to the public soon. And I imagine we're going to be on some type of campaign trail. Not sure about that. He's yet to announce, but he's just been talking this entire season about announcing his run for governor. So we'll see if that actually does happen. And if it does, maybe we'll be on a campaign trail a la West Wing. Who knows?
And who knows, Renee, how many episodes you're going to do, because originally you were going to do 16 in the second batch, and then Owen comes back and says, hey, you guys are on a roll. Let's give you four more.
Right, and we've been told, and this is all, I know what you know. I know no other information, and I can say that with all honesty, in that I know that we're doing 20, and we've been told to air early 14. So does that mean that we'll come back later and film for next summer? I do not know.
You never know, Renee, because to think about it, you're doing 36 episodes in a year, and way back when, in television in the 50s and 60s, the average drama for a year was 39 weeks. So you are doing close to, what a TV drama series way back when would do. And that's pretty special in an era where the most you do normally is 20, 22 episodes a year.
Exactly. And if we were able to come back and shoot for next summer, because I think, you know, the wonderful thing about the summer was that we really didn't have also a lot of stuff going up against us. But we did have the NBA playoffs and we didn't even take a hit. So it was great. So, you know, we still soared. And now men are so involved in us that, you know, the fact that you got a man to take his eyes off the NBA playoffs, that's a big thing.
How do you like working with John Schneider, and who in the cast that you didn't know you really become very fond of in terms of their acting talent?
Wow. Well, working with John Schneider is just a joy. The thing about John is he's so witty, and he's got this cute little sarcasm that Jim, that he brings to Jim. But John is a very wonderful, loving man. And actually, the closer we got as good friends off set, the more volatile we got on set, which I found to be hysterical to the point that it was a joke to see how mean we could be to each other on, you know, on set. But I would say, I didn't know Crystal until I started working with her. And I mean, I was familiar with her from The Heat of the Night, but Crystal Fox is just a joy and amazing to be on set with day in and day out. I mean, she is my rock. I mean, people always compliment our scenes together, and I always say, well, if you're doing a scene with Crystal Fox, how could you go wrong? I mean, really. And I would also say that I am, and I knew Angela Robinson, so I knew she was brilliant and fierce and phenomenal. So I expected no less, and she stepped up to the plate and even was just amazing. But I really got to know, and I'm very fond of David, the actor David, Peter Paris, who plays David on the show. He's a joy and a very giving and supporting person. But, you know, we're one big, and I love my kids. You know, they play such this dysfunctional, you know, people on camera, but they're really amazingly put together people off camera. I don't know if I really answered my question.
Yeah, and for people, Renee, who may wonder, who is Peter Paros, the trivia question is, that name is familiar because he was the helper of David Hasselhoff in the final season of Knight Rider way back in the 80s.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I know he did Guiding Light. I didn't know he did it. I have to gossip Google his resume a little more. Really?
Oh, yes, he did. He worked with William Daniels, that car named Kit, who's in the GE commercials now, you know, racing at the train. Amazing.
Right.
That's amazing. You never know. You never know how things can turn around in the acting field.
Exactly. You know, he did 16 years on soaps, and, and he's just a gentle soul. He's just a lovely person. And Gavin Houston, who plays Jeffrey, he did soaps for several years as well. And so did Eva Tamargo, who plays Celine. And those three really, they probably walked on set a little bit more familiar with the pace and the speed than any of us, you know. So they helped bring us along.
You have one more time for now to see the haves and the have-nots and see why it is the summer sensation of the Oprah Winfrey Network. It's Tuesday night, 9 p.m. East Pacific time on OWN. Check your local listings for where that network is available in your area on digital cable and satellite. And for more details about the series and the network, you can go online to www.oprah.com/OWN. That's www.oprah.com/OWN. And the have and have-nots will return for a second batch of episodes in early 2014. And next month, you can also catch the premiere on OWN of For Better or Worse, previously on TBS, now on OWN. That will premiere in mid-September on that network. Renee Lawless, co-star of The Haves and the Have-Nots, thanks again for being with us. Congratulations to you, Tyler,
pleasure.
John, your fellow cast and crew, about what you've accomplished
Thank
so far,
you.
And hopefully a whole lot more to come. And it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Pleasure being here. It's been my pleasure. Good luck to you.
Stay here. All of us. And by the way, open invite to Tyler to be on the program anytime. Have yourself and everybody
okay.
A wonderful Labor Day weekend.
Absolutely. You too. Be safe.
Bye-bye. Will do. Take care. Renee Lawless from the Haves and Have-Nots joining us from Atlanta, Georgia. Now it's time for the answer to this week's classic trivia question. And the question deals with HBO. On Monday, we brought you James Freeman, the producer, writer, director, and narrator of the HBO documentary Glickman on the famous radio and TV sportscaster Marty Glickman. And we asked you on Monday's episode, what was HBO's first made-for-television movie, made and presented 3 decades ago? The answer, it was one with a sports background, the Terry Fox story about the marathon athlete who is paraplegic and did manage to have a great career for himself in that vein. So once again, the answer to this week's classic trivia question, the Terry Fox story from 1983 was HBO's first made-for-television movie. We'll have our next classic trivia question on Tuesday's episode. It's Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio. And if you know the answer, email me at simonapple04 simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. When you get your answer, please enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you're the first with the correct answer, we'll highlight you a week from today at this very same portion of the program. If you, by the way, have a classic trivia question you want to try and stump our BTR listeners with, give it a go. Use that same email address. If we use your question, we, of course, will give you the credit for it. Once again, it's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And if you missed the program and you want to find out what the question was, on Wednesday morning, we'll post it on my Facebook page and also my Twitter hashtag at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. And best of luck to everybody. Then tomorrow we televise. We are the radio program all about television. We are with you usually Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio. Next episode, because of Liberty Weekend, Tuesday at the same hour, my guest will be Eric Frankel, the former president of Warner Brothers Television, the largest producer of original television series. And again, coming your way next Friday, president of the Oprah Winfrey Network, Eric Logan, and two of the producers behind the new Hallmark Channel film, The Watsons Go to Birmingham, writer-producer Tanya Lewis-Lee, yes, that is Spike Lee's wife, and Nikki Silver. That's all Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. And during the Labor Day weekend, if you want to check out our recent episodes, you can do that anytime during the weekend. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/televise. That's our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televise. And if you also want to check up on our episodes, you want to take us on the go with your smartphone or tablet, go to iTunes.com, download us, our podcast version, and any place you like during this long and wonderful Labor Day weekend, take us on the go and listen anytime you like. Just go to iTunes.com, give us a download to your smartphone or tablet, and take it on the go. And again, if you have a PC or laptop and you're on the go with it, use that homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televise. Coming up in the next half hour, we go live to San Francisco. We'll hear from the chief executive of a new television network all about sustainable living. It's called Evoke Television. Zob Javar joins us live after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the place to discover what the world has to say. www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 40 million listens around the world every month and growing. It's your home for Saturday morning with Joy Keyes. Yes, Joy will be with you this Labor Day weekend. Catch her tomorrow with her great guest, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And check out the best of BTR 24/7. It's available for you at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow We Televise on this next-to-last day of August, 2013. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment for our guest ahead, give us a call at 1-646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We've got guests 1-335, 1400, 1450, and our friend Rick Webb from Philly still in the room. So join them. We really appreciate what you have to say. One of the new television networks in town is Evokes. It's spelled E-V-O-X, but it's pronounced Evokes, as is invoking something. In this case, it's a network all about sustainable living, a theme that was once done by a network called Planet Green that lasted a couple of years early this decade from Discovery Communications and was replaced 2 years ago by Destination America. Now it's up to Evokes to see if they can make sustainable living sustainable. But try this out. You won't find this on broadcast or cable right now. The only place television-wise you can find it is on Roku with smart TV distribution to come. Joining us live from San Francisco at Evokes headquarters, Chief Executive Officer Zob Javar. Zob, good to have you with us.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you so much for having me on.
It's a pleasure. Zob, what is Evokes and what kind of sustainable living is it promoting?
Wow. Well, Evokes really exists to provide, like you say, sustainable living, but we're extending ourselves out from what is normally known as sustainable, which has a large, you know, green eco component to it. The way we're looking at sustainability going forward is what is sustainable about all aspects of your life, from your health, from how you live your daily life, all the way to the impact you have on the planet.
And another thing, too, Zob, is that you're not just doing nonfiction programming, you are doing scripted programming. How are you doing in terms of getting scripted programming on your network?
Oh, well, that's an interesting module for, you know, we just launched on Earth Day, you know, this just past April. And since then, we've been showing more and more kind of acquired programming and using typical kind of media play in regards to acquiring people who are in the sustainable area. So when we look forward in January, we start doing originals. And that's a very interesting space because you have to show this particular market, which is what we call the LOHAS market, Lifestyles of Health and Sustainability, programming that's not just documentary. It has to have larger storylines and what we're calling inventing the new drama.
And are you getting any proposals for scripted yet? Are you very close to announcing, let's say, the first project in that vein?
No, we're not close. I wish we were closer. But we brought in some really extraordinary people in our programming department and people who have a lot of clout in the programming world to design and come up with some programming lineups that we think are going to be really compelling for this audience. It was interesting to hear you just mention Planet Green. Because it was such an extraordinary endeavor, and I used to watch a lot of the Planet Green programming, and one thing that's changing about this market, in my view, is this quality of life, sustainable consumer is now looking for things that are just beyond documentary. They're wanting to see programming that positively impacts how they think about their lives and how they think about life in general. So Evokes is here to really take and build on the shoulders of Planet Green and everything that was there and say, okay, this market's strong, but now how do we build this market out so they have more opportunities to play? And that includes everything from programming to we have a live store component. So we're selling commercial items that are sustainable and have, you know, a lot of sustainable practices across the supply chain. So these viewers have more of an interaction. It's insufficient for them just to watch programming. They now want to know that what they're purchasing and consuming, whether it be programming or products, that there is a sustainability index of some sort inside of that chain.
Why do you think Planet Green and the millions of households it had available to them through Discovery Communications, why didn't that, say, sustain itself, if you will, sustain itself? And why do you think you can? Is it because you are going to do a wider range of programming? Is it because you just said you're also including the opportunity to buy products in the sustainable living or health food or natural organic food category? What makes you believe you can go beyond what they did and make it?
Well, I think being sustainable today is not the same as it was even 5 years ago. There's a lot of eco products and services that are mainstreaming now. And I think Planet Green was a great predecessor, but there's a big mainstreaming happening across all the demographics right now. So even green 2 to 3 years ago doesn't mean what it did today. And the market's about almost $1.5 trillion strong right now. I mean, $1.5 trillion in the eco-sustainable quality of life markets. And the manufacturers now know that. You can see that with Procter & Gamble, with their products being more leveraged towards green consumers who want to have less chemicals. We're getting more information. And I think the consumer's becoming more aware of what's available out there in the marketplace. So I was speaking with somebody the other day about, you know, why Evokes versus, you know, some of these other networks that have been out there. And I think part of it is that the monetization of a network that's, really airing on Roku and Apple TV and Chromecast and these other platforms, the technology has evolved so much. But there's so much content out there, and no one's really figured out how to monetize it correctly. So I do feel like in order for you to play in this market, if you're relying solely on eyeballs, you're going to be in some trouble for a while. And the market's still rolling itself up and trying to figure out how do you monetize these assets. With a company like Evokes, I think we have a built-in component of consumers who are really looking for what we have, but we also are connected directly to retail and the sustainable retail that our consumers who would watch our programming would purchase in the first place. So I think that gives us an advantage that Planet Green and some of the other channels out there haven't had.
The name of the network is Evokes Television, and right now it is available on Roku, the over-the-top television device. Very soon it will be available on smart TV sets from various manufacturers. Zob Dubois is the chief executive officer of the channel. He is with us live from San Francisco on Tomorrow We Televise, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, you calling us, numbers 1-646-652-2906. That's 1-646-652-2906. And that number is good anywhere. You're catching us across the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio. Our chat room is buzzing. Sign an Apple 04 by name. Welcome guests 1476, 1487, 1501, and 1504 in the room. So don't be shy. Use the chat room. Use the phone. We do want to hear from you. Coming up a week from Monday here on Tomorrow We Televise, we will have two of the top reality show producers in the business, from Magical Elves, executive producers Dave Vincent and Dan Cutforth. Their new series with Law & Order creator Dick Wolf is Cold Justice. It premieres next Tuesday night on TNT. Also on the program, we'll have the new executive producers of Let's Ask America. It's a game show that's running around the country on Scripps television stations. And we'll have Michael Cantor and Jeff Kraft. All of them will be with us on Monday, September 9th, week from Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And once again, Cold Justice premieres on TNT next Tuesday night. How are you doing in terms of trying to get on smart TV and devices like Roku, and why use that strategy as opposed to getting on cable, broadcast stations, multicast, other distribution avenues?
It's a really great question. I don't know if you were able to see the Kevin Spacey interview that he did yesterday when he was talking about why they chose, you know, Netflix for House of Cards versus some of the other networks. I think there's a big play in the market to switch over to this way, because there's so much more infrastructure necessary if you're going to be doing a cable or a satellite deal versus now. The way systems are set up, you're just very much empowered. People who build great content have a whole new set of tools, and that's what we're able to take advantage of right now at Evokes, is this whole new model of technology that really is designed to give people like Evokes and companies like Evokes a chance to grow in unexpected ways. So I think the phenomena is changing dramatically. We're going to find a lot more high-end talent, producers, writers, you know, wanting to do themselves through, you know, internet plays like Evokes, because it just makes it a lot easier. And there's a lot less red tape, quite honestly, going through it this way.
How are you doing with the smart TV community? When do you get on Samsung, Vizio, Panasonic, Sharp, Toshiba, all the TV set makers out there?
Oh, we are days away. We've been on Roku since Earth Day. That was our first play. And Roku is just an extraordinary platform. It's been really heartening to see them grow as a platform. And they're very competitive, and I think a lot of people see them as a front runner now, even beyond Apple TV. With Samsung, we go on in the next few days, and then the play just goes from there. Once we get platforms rolled out, we can roll out a new platform every single month.
What are some of the shows you currently have on? What are some of the original series that you've got now?
Oh, well, the biggest one I'm going to pitch here is the On Begley Street, because, you know, Ed used to be on Planet Green, and Ed is now going to be on Evokes. And he's bringing together the whole cast of how they're building this house, this LEED Platinum certified house down in Southern California. And that for us was a massive coup, because Ed's just like, he's been an idol of mine for years, a guy who walked the talk of sustainability. And so that's the first live original show that we're doing. And we're doing that with a live taping down in Los Angeles on September 15th.
And I understand that you also are going to, that program is going to have people on like Bill Nye, the Science Guy, Jeff Goldblum, formerly Law and Order, criminal, Sharon Lawrence of NYPD Blues. They got some heavy-duty names on that program.
They do. Jason Mraz. I mean, Ed's just, the people who are attracted to this market, they just love Ed. And he's really extraordinary. And the other piece of it, though, that I just want to say in regards to this particular show and the changing market, is that Rochelle, you know, Ed's wife Rochelle, she has had to, and I think Ed would let me say this, she's had to put up with this staunch stand for sustainability and everything that Ed does for so many years. And Rochelle's like this elegant person who loves beauty and beautiful things around her. So the juxtaposition between the two of them has been very cool, and I think that points to the emerging market in sustainability, where it used to be back in the day people settled for a lot less because there weren't objects out there that were sustainably made that were gorgeous. And Rochelle now curates a lot of beautiful products that, you know, people want to buy. It's no longer about not having something beautiful because it's sustainable. There's now lots of very beautiful things done in the sustainability market. So I'm just kind of giving you forays into the overall show. It gives you a sense of design and beauty and art. And on Planet Green years ago, it was really that one play is kind of where we were in the market on sustainability at the time.
What about where you want to get the chroming from down the road? It's my understanding that you want to get some heavy-duty producers aboard doing content on a regular basis. You want to get some independent producers to give them a shot at stardom through your network. But I also understand that you want to get either viewers or, you call them, community members who have something to offer also aboard. So it sounds like you want to be as open a platform or as open a showcase for Promi as possible.
Well, absolutely. We have inside our business model what we call our listening ecosystem. And that's kind of where we talk about how we're listening to what our community wants and how we're able to deliver content in a faster, faster kind of way. And we've got some really interesting partnerships with some companies who are enabling us with platforms so that we can put out messages to viewers and have viewers actually cut their own video. I mean, there's amazing content being produced on some of your Galaxy S4s and your iOS devices right now. And, you know, we're hoping that with the platform that we open up, we're going to get some really beautiful content that's on purpose and on brand, but also showcase some of the really amazing projects that our viewers are involved in. I think of Evokes as being a platform that's out there to show people making a difference in the world. And we want to focus on those kinds of projects in the world so we can help bring around global change and shift. And that's fundamentally what the network's about.
Evokes Television is available on Roku, the over-the-top television device available in about 5 million households at the moment. Zahra Dubai is the chief executive of Evokes, which is also trying to get on smart TV sets around the country. The network is also available online at Evokes Television, that's evokstelevision.com. And Val joins us live from San Francisco this half hour on Salon We Televise. Simon Applebaum, we'll be live from New York. Happy to have you with us the next last day of August, right before the big Liberty weekend here on Blog Talk Radio. Give us a call with your question or comment. This is Val. All you have to do is give us a call. It's 1-646-652-2906. Or use that chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. We'll open guests 1504 and 1524 into the room. Got a few more minutes, so get your calls, your chat room thoughts in. Sooner you do, sooner we get you in the conversation. How are you doing getting advertisers and advertising for the network?
We're doing really well. I mean, we've started with the sales pretty recently here. But it's right now, with the way technology is, we're able to embed, you know, some of the virtual advertisers inside of our programming to bring some, you know, to bring some revenue in. But I just want to say a little bit about that because the consumer, the viewer for Evokes is, I don't know quite how to say it yet, but very sensitive to how you advertise. So one of the things we've had to deal with at Evokes is that sustainable, green, eco, quality of life consumer, I know that's a lot, that's a mouthful, is really sensitive to being sold stuff. And in order for them to be part of the Evokes family, they have to feel like Evokes is representing their best interests in regards to the programs that we make, in regards to the advertisers we have. And I think that's probably going to be one of our challenges, is we're doing our best not to set, you know, to put advertisers off that want to advertise with us, but at the same time know that we are really acting on behalf of our viewers. And if they see some advertisers in on our programming or embedded in our framework that don't match their values, it becomes a really tough sell for our consumers. So one thing I dealt with recently is I was at a conference and the vice president of sustainability for Ford Motors was giving a talk to a fairly skeptical audience in the sustainable kind of world. And I had the opportunity to ask him after the presentation he'd given why he thought like the audience was so not listening. They were, you know, you could visibly see in the audience and people were folding their arms and kind of humming and hawing why he was representing Ford in this conversation. And Ford is doing some really amazing things in sustainability, by the way. And when I asked him the question, he said, well, I think they're just very skeptical. And that is kind of true of this audience right now, is they are very powerful, very affluent audience right now. And they're wanting to be sure that Evokes is a real partner, that we're not going to sell them out like a lot of other networks have because of, you know, having to make sales for, you know, advertising or whatever else we're doing. So I think we're doing really well from the perspective of the amount of sponsors we have and the attractiveness we are. And we're also having to monitor that with the values that we have for this business. It's kind of unique. We're a B Corp focused company, and B Corp is really a very interesting organization that has started to have for-profit, for-good businesses be protected under the law. As you know, an existing C Corp, you add these B Corp values to your organization to let everyone know that you're going to be mission-focused. And Evokes definitely has a mission to inspire, to educate, and to inform people on things to have them live healthy lives that really matter to them. You know, it's really beautiful to be a human being and be alive. And if Evokes can be a partner in having people have more tools to have more happiness in their lives, that's really why we exist. So we're setting up structures to be sure we have longevity in that area.
I want to get to the marketplace side of your network, but first we have a call and we're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Hi, Simon. How are you?
Hi there. Very well, thank you. You're on the air with Zob Dubois from Evokes. Go right ahead.
Hi, I have a question for you, Zob. This is Nancy. I'm from Oceanside. And I really like Ed Begley Jr. a lot and what he stands for. I know he's been an environmentalist since the 70s, and I think people really feel that he's authentic. So what was it about Evokes that made Ed want to come on board with you? I'm just curious about that. So I'll hang up now and listen for your answer.
All right, Nancy, thank you for the call. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Well, it's a great question. We were blessed really to meet Ed through Rafael Sabarge, who is an actor, he's an environmentalist, and he stars on a couple shows. He's on ABC, it's one of ABC's shows. And we were at a trade show, and someone from Evokes had met Rafael, and Rafael is one of the founders of a company called Greenwich. And Greenwich is a nonprofit that helps other nonprofits support themselves in making a difference in the world. It's a really cool organization. Look at it, greenwich.org. And Ed's also on the board for Greenwich. So when Rafael heard what we were doing at Evokes, he introduced us to Ed and Rochelle and the entire company. And then that's kind of where it started. We started with the conversation. And they've been in conversations with some other networks for a while. And I think because I'm going to just say this, and I want to say this very humbly, because although I'm the CEO, I have an incredible team that have made Evokes be successful and really walk the talk of this vision that we have for a network that makes a difference. And Ed is attracted to that. I think if you asked Ed why Evokes over other opportunities that they have, and they have plenty of them, he would just say that we represent their values. And so for me, that says a lot about how he views us and how we're viewed in the world.
And again, thanks to Nancy from Oceanside. I'm assuming Oceanside, New York, that's Long Island way, for that call. Really appreciate it. Thank you for the question. Thank you for listening. Got a couple of minutes left. And before we go, I wanted to get into the marketplace that you're also doing on the network. What kind of products are you offering? And are you working with people like Simple Green, Whole Foods Market, the organic and natural food makers? Are they involved with this on-air marketplace?
Absolutely. I mean, we have standard, you know, like Mrs. Meyer's brands. We have eco lunch boxes on the store. We have luxury goods. We have a ton of vendors. I think we have over 65 different vendors out there right now, and we have about 1,100 products in the market on the Evokes store. And that's just expanding. And one thing, Simon, that we have been working on is how do we vet out that each of these products we sell in the store are actually sustainable? There's a big kind of word in the marketplace right now called greenwashing, which is kind of like whitewashing. And part of the challenge of Evokes is to present a store that we say is sustainable, and we need support from our community to let us know if they find out information on products that aren't, because we're a small staff. I mean, we're a growing business. We have an incredibly dedicated staff, but we're really relying on our community to help us find and solve some of the answers. And so the store is fully online. It's ready to go. There's some beautiful objects there, some beautiful products, and a lot of well-known vendors. And then we're also showcasing some really cool entrepreneurial companies, some companies that are starting out, and we hope that our community at Evokes is going to help make them successful in the marketplace. And my vision is that the more people we have purchasing on our Evokes store and joining the Evokes community, the greater influence we have for programming, the more influence we have with larger vendors to ensure that they have sustainable practices in their businesses, which include everything from the quality of their employees' lives to the quality of their products and how they're getting sourced in the world. So the marketplace is extraordinary. It's going to make a big difference for this community.
Before we leave, how are you funding yourself? And are you going to look to venture capital or crowdfunding as a way of sustaining yourself as you get more advertisers on board?
Well, I'll tell you, the first year was really just us. We funded ourselves, and my team has been extraordinary. I mean, Simon, if I told you that my team has primarily been a volunteer team for the last year, I'm telling you the truth. Everyone has been so generous, and I think it speaks to the inspiration that evokes is that I have a staff that has come on board to give as much as they've given for very little, if any, pay in most of the cases. So that was the first thing. The second area is we got a very generous first round of angel funding from a real angel here in San Francisco, Maurice Canbar. He has a whole entertainment division. He's an entrepreneur. He's supported the arts. He's just an amazing, generous person, and he helped us get our first set of deliverables and our milestones done in the company. And now we're looking at a new line of what's called impact investors. And impact investors are the side of VCs, venture capitalists, who look at companies like ours who are committed to make a social difference in the world in some way, shape, or form. And so we're starting to look for them right as we speak. If you have anyone, please send them my way, Simon.
We'll try, and it's very nice to hear that we have at least one angel investor that is getting involved with television. Let's hope there is more. If you want to know more about Evokes Television, here's where you go online. It's www.evoxtelevision.com. It's www.evoxtelevision.com. And if you're one of the 5 million people that has Roku around the country, that's how you can get Evokes on your television set. Smart TV distribution to come, and who knows, maybe broadcast, cable, multicast, Fios TV, et cetera, Satellite 2, down the road. Zav Duval, the Chief Executive Officer of Evokes, thanks again for joining us. Congratulations on what you've accomplished so far, and look forward to covering your network down the road and beyond.
Thank you so much, Simon.
You're very, very welcome. Have a great Liberty weekend.
You too. Have a great one.
Will do. Take care. Zav Duval, Chief Executive of Evokes Television, joining us live from San Francisco. Thanking to both my guests for being on this hour and all of you for listening. Coming up, we're back Tuesday, same time, joining us the former head of Warner Brothers Television, Eric Frankel. And a week from today, my lead guest will be president of the Oprah Winfrey Network, Eric Logan. The other president, Sherry Salata, may join us as well. Also, the writer, producer, and producer of the new Hallmark Channel film, The Watsons Go to Birmingham. Writer, producer, Tanya Lewis Lee, yes, the wife of Spike Lee, and producer, Nikki Silver. That's all coming up a week from today, Friday, September 6th, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And that week marks the start of our September to Remember here on Tomorrow We Televise. The live rate guests are already set to go, some near set to go, and we hope you'll join us all next month for September to Remember right here on Tomorrow We Televise. If you want to catch up on any part of the show you missed, go to our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televise. Check out the podcast at iTunes.com. You can download to your smartphone or tablet and take us along for the ride as you go to and fro this Labor Day weekend. Remember, we'd like to hear from you. What do you think about our show today? What's your thoughts about television, where it's at, and where it's going? Email us, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. You can also see my Facebook page and my Twitter hashtag at UBCSimonTWBT. That's UBCSimonTWBT. However you communicate with us, we do appreciate it. The views presented on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Block Talk Radio. Our production associates are Amy Domestico and John Sweet. The creator and chief executive officer of Block Talk Radio is Alan Levy. But tomorrow will be televised. I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful and safe Labor Day holiday weekend. Be safe on the roads. We want to catch you back here safe and sound Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. Block Talk Radio. Until the next time, stay well. And stay tuned.